Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Now, in recent years, we've seen political shakeups which have disrupted global trade, such as the UK's decision to leave the EU and, of course, former US President Donald Trump's America First policy. But we've not seen a sandstorm like the one in the Suez Canal that's causing major trade chaos. That's exactly what happened when the Ever Given cargo ship was about 1,300 feet long. That's longer than the height of the Eiffel Tower. It weighs about 200,000 tons. It got wedged sideways across the Suez Canal, and it's one of the world's main trade lanes, as we've been talking about. It's the narrowest point, only about 300 meters wide. So alternative routes include going around the Cape of Good Hope. That's at the southern tip of Africa. That's being looked at. It'll potentially take over a week, maybe even close to 2 weeks extra travel time, and that's going to impact the world, isn't it? Here in Singapore as well. Well, on the line to talk about that and a whole lot more, Jeff Ng, Senior Treasury Strategist at HL Bank. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Yes, hi. Good morning. I'm all great. Thanks for inviting me.
Hey, it's been a while. And we have this ship, this container ship, blocking the Suez Canal, looking like a beached whale in that sense. Now, there are some numbers coming out, like Lloyd's List, for example, is saying that the worth of trade is something like 9.6 billion. So that works up to something like 400 million an hour. Now, here in Singapore, our Transport Minister Ong Ye Kung has talked about how this is going to impact Singapore. What are you reading from the situation right now?
Yes, I think it's indeed a huge disruption, given that, I mean, how much a tiny single channel canal can, you know, do to global trade. I think, you know, looking at the 9.6 billion daily, and if we, let's say, context it to Singapore's global trade, that's about, you know, 1.5% of total Singapore trade in 2019. So I think if you block it for, let's say, 2 months, that's like the whole of Singapore trade. So it's really huge, and sometimes how much we underestimate just a single lane can cause such a big disruption to global trade.
Yeah, the Suez Canal handles like, what, 52 vessels on average a day, daily capacity of for, what, 106 vessels. So you just imagine, you're closing it for 1 hour is already a problem. Now, reports are saying that PSA might need to take some steps to tackle the potential backlog. Perhaps react on it sooner rather than later? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think if we look at recent trends, the global trade has been improving quite well, you know, ahead of all the other activities in the world as the COVID-19 pandemic still rages on. So I think at this point of time, having some of this disruption definitely poses some downside risks to the world economy as well to Singapore, based on the fact that, you know, we are sort of at the center of Asia-Europe trade. Yeah, I think having some, you know, disruptions, 1-2 weeks of disruptions, I think that may definitely derail some of the connectivity that we have at the moment. But I think, you know, based on the experiences that we've had over the past year, I think Singapore, as well as the world economy, is perhaps equipped, you know, to handle some of these disruptions going forward.
That's a good point. Actually, I just want to touch lightly on this one. We had our Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat this week talking about how the US and China needs to deal with all the tensions that have been built up over the years, right? And then overnight, we heard President Joe Biden saying, you know, promising rather, that the US is going to outspend China on innovation. It looks like the competition between these two superpowers is not going to end anytime soon. Where does that put Singapore and maybe even the ASEAN region?
Well, I think for Singapore as well as the rest of the ASEAN region, we look very closely into US-China relations, because both Singapore as well as ASEAN, we are very much reliant on both these two economies buzzing to lend support to external demand. And I think so far this year, these two economies are likely to be the outperformers in their own space. So I think US is likely to lead the G10 recovery after the stimulus. And I think for China as well, it's been performing fairly well. And I think if you look at, you know, some of the linkages, they are estimating that $60 billion of the US stimulus will hit to China's exporters and benefiting the overall economy there. I think, you know, going forward, competition is inevitable, because I think you have China now moving highly towards the upper end of the tech chain. Mm-hmm. And definitely we'll see competing standards and companies at the forefront of all this. Of course, I think if there's more constructive and engagement, I think that benefits a lot of the economies who are then not forced to pick sides, because I think for small economies like us, we prefer to have a more neutral and more cooperative stance with both economies.
Yeah, we don't have the bandwidth to get into a tussle at all. But is there a link there, you know, between that kind of recovery and some of the announcements made on Wednesday night here in Singapore about lifting of COVID-19 restrictions, or easing of restrictions rather, to be more specific? For example, you look at how 75% of the workforce can go back to the office from April 5th. What kind of sentiment do you think that will drum up?
I believe that will help to support the domestic economy, because so far, if we look at like the situation from the start of the year, it has been steady. It hasn't changed much. Outlook has still been pretty much divided. Some sectors are still doing well, like modern services and manufacturing. Some, like the external-oriented ones, like tourism, they're still continuing in the doldrums. So I think one swing factor to our economy at this moment that will provide some impetus will be the domestic-oriented services. And having, you know, more people, let's say, travelling around Singapore or going back to the CBD area to work, that's going to help at least some of the retailers to have more businesses. I think anecdotally, I think sometimes going back to office or traveling around, I already see the activity levels start to improve. So having more of this definitely will improve the activity levels. And I think that could also have some spillover effect into some of the other sectors, because I think we are also seeing businesses pivot and adapt to this new normal.
Yeah, actually, you bring up a very good point. I mean, it really doesn't matter people going back to the office, because we're kind of used to this hybrid way of working, but it's the traffic that goes through these much-needed businesses that is that makes the difference. Or even this one, you've got new rules or new easing of measures where up to 750 people can be at a business event, a sporting event, or live event. Let's just classify all that under the MICE industry, just generally put, that's up from 250, but only if pre-event COVID testing is done. I mean, on one hand, I'm looking at this as potentially pent-up demand being released. On the other hand, it is quite a challenge logistically to make sure 750 people attending your event have been pre-tested for COVID.
Yes, indeed. I think, of course, it adds more steps to having all these events being organized. But that also means maybe more economic activity levels returning, because I put into some numbers last year, like the accommodation and food services sector. During the circuit breaker period, it was down by more than 40% year on year. And in the second half, with all the reopening phases, it's still down by about 20% year on year. We still don't have the data after the phase three.
Sure.
But yeah, I think as you know, all these activities are being put back, and then there's more procedures coming in. We could actually see some of these numbers start to see strong positive or even double-digit kind of growth. And from, you know, having a lot of this capacity being zero, nobody going to all these venues, I think that's definitely an improvement in terms of activity levels. Even though I think one note to caution is that there's still a lot of cautiousness in attending all these meetings and having incentives. Travels and conferences.
Yeah. You think maybe it's a good test run ahead of the World Economic Forum in August? Because that one, I mean, it puts us on the map, Singapore that is, and we really need to succeed and do well and show the world a good example in that sense.
Yes, absolutely. So I think Singapore being, you know, one of the centres for all these events, and yeah, having being at the centre of global trade, I think definitely we want to be at the forefront of reopening and helping to showcase that the economy has the capability to, you know, keep things under control while still keeping all these activity levels sustained.
Well, once again, all eyes are on Singapore. Been speaking with Jeff Ng, Senior Treasury Strategist at HL Bank. Jeff, appreciate your thoughts this morning. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Yes, thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.